Harvest folks, it's good to see you today. Psalm 150, the last in a series of 20 messages concerning a song for every season of the soul. It is interesting, I think, that we began with the first division of the Psalms where God blessed man. He said of man, "When you'll walk not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but you will delight every day in my word, I will bless you." 150 Psalms later, it is man blessing God, giving him praise and glory. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In six verses, 13 praise the Lord's. An emphasis in this last of the Psalms on giving glory and honor and adoration to the Lord who is worthy. I want to just speak to you this morning, giving you what I have gleaned over a 50-year ministry about praise. I want to make a few observations. I want to share a couple of experiences, and then I want to conclude with an encouragement for you. Observation number one, I believe God is restoring praise to the body of Jesus Christ. I see it. I hear it. I sense it in lots of places where I go. I was raised in a really good church, a Baptist church, a church whose doctrine was straightforward, a church that taught duty, come to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, tithe. From a lad, I was taught that you couldn't outgive God. I was taught to share my faith. As a teenager, I won the first person to the Lord that I'd ever witnessed to, and at that time, he was one of my best friends. I remember doctrine being taught in the classroom and preached from the pulpit, and all the songs that we sung were doctrinally true and accurate. I believe duty was emphasized to the maximum. Serve the Lord. Live for him. And yet, having said that, we were strong on doctrine and strong on duty, but somewhere doxology slipped through the cracks. I was never really taught to praise the Lord. Many of you were raised in that very same environment. As a young preacher, I went into evangelism. I went to a church in Granbury, Texas. I'll never forget it. It was an odd kind of church. They had discovered praise long before most churches ever did. Their people seemed happy to be singing in the choir, when most choirs I had encountered looked like they'd been baptized in vinegar and raised on a dill pickle. This choir had the joy of the Lord. The pastor sat on the front row and slapped his leg every once in a while and said, "Hallelujah!" And for the life of me, I didn't know you could do that in a Baptist church. He said, "Praise the Lord." He was joined by a number of people who did so. I came home from that revival meeting more blessed than I was able to bless, more alive than I was able to share life, And from that time till this time, I've never quite been the same. Because to have doctrine is a precious thing. To know duty is a precious thing. But to experience doxology, to come to the place where doctrine and duty take a back seat to who my God is and what He deserves from me. Oh, what a wonder that is. And I believe God is restoring praise to the body of Jesus Christ today. A second observation that I'd make is that praise is a most worthwhile endeavor. It is vital that we witness to keep the Great Commission and to share the gospel with the dying in sin. It is vital that we serve, because a cold drink or a warm coat given in the name of Jesus to one of His is rewarded in glory. But the first glimpse that you and I get of the church when we open the pages of the Revelation is that the 12 of the Old Testament and the 12 of the New Testament have encircled the throne of the living God and of the Lamb, and they are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They are worshiping the Lamb that was slain. They are praising and exalting the God of glory. May we ever share the gospel. It's our responsibility. May we ever serve others. It's our biblical command. But may we be a church that primarily and most of all learns to exalt our God, who is worthy of that. It is the highest endeavor of mankind. We were born to give Him glory. We were birthed to praise His name. We are here that we may exalt Him. A third observation, and I believe this, praise can bring physical, emotional, and spiritual healing to a believer. Now, let me explain that. The devil is the author of doubt and fear. He wants to bring about confusion and conflict. He wants to bring about turmoil and trouble, not just in the individual's life, but in the corporate life of the church. And I believe that when those things set in against us, and praise begins to rise from us, that the praise can overwhelm the problem. You understand what I'm saying? I believe that emotionally you can get well praising God. I believe that spiritually you can get on fire and full of passion praising God. And while I know that doctors and nurses and hospitals and medicines are necessary many times, I believe that there are times when praising God even heals the sin-sick body. I believe there are times when Satan has just cast upon us a stronghold of defeat that we break those chains by lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. I believe there's healing in that name. And here's something you can't miss, a final observation. Until private praise is established, corporate praise will be inhibited by fear and discomfort. The reason that you want to sit on your hands when others are lifting theirs is most likely the absence of private praise all week long. You don't just come to church and start praising. You come to church and keep praising. If you're not praising Him on Monday, it's not likely it'll be authentic and genuine praise on Sunday. You need to be praising Him every day in every way in order to be comfortable with praising Him on the Lord's Day. You see, that's what was wrong with my raising. I was taught to come to the house of God to learn more. And I was taught to come to the house of God to do more. But I don't know that I was ever taught to come to the house of God to be more. And you become more through the act of praise to God. And when one praiser joins another praiser, and praisers get together in the name of the Lord, and praise begins to rise up, it does something in us and about us that cannot be done anywhere else under any other set of circumstances. And listen to me this morning. If you're not praising God privately, it's going to be uncomfortable to try to praise Him publicly. After 50 years of ministry, not only some observations, could I share a couple of three experiences? For me, personal praise opens the fountain of gladness. I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but I'm human. You surprised? I have Mondays too. I show up some Mondays going, where were they? More emphasis upon who wasn't here and what wasn't given and what didn't happen. Well, Pastor, I can't believe that about you. Well, believe it. I'm human. Oh, I know. I'm supposed to show up happy about who was here, what was given, and what did happen. I know that. That's not new or news to me. But could I repeat that I'm human? But I have noticed. Are you ready? I have noticed that in the midst of who wasn't here, what wasn't given, and what didn't happen, if I'll start praising the Lord, I will have my attention turned to who was here, what was given, and what did happen. Because He's a positive God. He's a God who wants me to see how good my Father is. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning, because guess what comes after Sunday? It'll be here before you know it. And you'll be out there wondering why the weekend crew didn't get this, that, or the other done. And I'll be here wondering where they were and why they didn't give and why it didn't happen. But God will still be God. Jesus will still be Lord. And He'll still be worthy of our praise. A second experience I'll share with you is that personal praise brings an increase of discernment. Maybe I need to explain that a little bit. If you're way back there, if you're like the college crowd that sits way up there, and I start to whisper, it's hard for you to hear me. But the closer you get, you begin to understand what I'm saying. We can relate, fellowship, communicate better. At a distance full of doubt and fear and discouragement, it's hard to know what the wise thing to do, the godly thing to do, the right thing to do is. But when you draw near to the Lord, when you get close to Him, when the presence of God is a reality most of the time, you begin to discern the will of God and the ways of God, and understand the Word of God and the work of God, And it's not a whisper from a distance. It's a sweet voice of guidance in your life every day. Personal praise brings about spiritual discernment. It also increases the anticipation and the excitement of worship. Again, just a quick reference. I can remember most of the time growing up that when Saturday was over and Sunday came, it was my duty to get up, get dressed, and go to church. And that's what we did. But I don't remember very many Fridays when I said, just two more days. Very many Saturdays when I said, just one more day. Very many Sundays when I said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. I don't remember too many times saying, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I am convinced that Wednesday praise brings about a Sunday anticipation that I am about to go be with His people in His place, in His presence, and praise Him because He's worthy of my praise. You see, praise is not something I can teach you on Sunday. It's not worked up. It's prayed down. It's something you grab hold of when God grabs hold of you. Let me quickly hurry. Personal praise escalates spiritual warfare. You want to get in a fight with the devil, you start praising the Lord. You keep quiet. You go about your business. You just know a little doctrine and do a little duty, and the devil will leave you alone. You begin to lift your voice and your life in adoration and praise to God. You better put on the whole armor of God and make no provision for the flesh, because you will be in for a battle. And I just be honest with you this morning, if you're not having any trouble with the devil, there's a reason for it. When you're walking beside him, he will not bother you. You turn and face him, and you are in for a battle. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's one of the first things you can praise him for. I'm in a battle, but I read the last page, and I win. The battle, when it's over, will find me in the presence of God, and Satan bound into a bottomless pit. I win. Well, before your roast gets cold, let me say about three or four more things in the form of encouragement. I've made a few observations. I've shared a couple of experiences. Here's my encouragement. Four words. Number one, recognize. You need to recognize this morning that hidden sin will keep you from praising God. Well, Pastor, nobody else knows it, but God does. And it's hard to be humble in the presence of one that you are sinning against. Hidden sin will stop you from praising God. And so if you're in a relationship that dishonors God, it will impact your praise. So if you're robbing Him of tithes and offerings, it will impact your praise. So if you're not having Bible study or a quiet time and nobody knows it but God, it'll impact your praise. Hidden sin will impact your praise. I want to say something else. Not just hidden sin, but pride, which I guess is hidden sin, except sometimes pride is very apparent to others. If you're embarrassed to praise Him, you won't. If you're embarrassed to let others know that you're a Christian, it's doubtful you will. If you're embarrassed for people to see you caught up in the Spirit, you probably won't be. So not only will hidden sin, but pride rob you. And tradition will rob you also. Now listen to me. The kind of church I've described was a good church. I mean, we had a choir, we had a youth group, we had Vacation Bible School, and bless the Lord, we had a softball team. But the tradition that I was raised in did not teach me to praise the Lord. And so I had to ask God to break those chains in order for me to praise Him. I had to risk being called charismatic. I had to risk being viewed as Pentecostal. I had to risk people saying he's not a Baptist. And I want to tell you, I believe what I've always believed. My doctrine hadn't changed. And I want to serve like I think I've always tried to serve. My duty hadn't changed. But I got a doxology, and a doxology got me. And sometimes I cannot help but praise the Lord. And I'm in pretty good company. The Apostle Paul, writing continuously, stops now and then and loses track of the doctrine he's teaching, and he simply says unto him who is able, and he gives him honor and glory and praise and adoration. We're in good company when we praise the Lord. So recognize. Number two, develop. Develop a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. You don't come to church to see the choir. You don't come to church to hear the sermon. You come to church to see the Lord. And if you're praising God because you heard the choir, you're praising Him for the wrong reason. And if you're praising God because you heard the sermon, you're praising Him for the wrong reason. But if you're praising God because you've seen the Lord, you're praising Him for the right reason. I want to just remind you, just develop a pure heart. Number three, we've got to move. Focus. Focus on God's holiness. He's a holy God. Listen, you can't praise the Lord focusing on CNN or Fox or the headlines in the newspaper. Oh my goodness, you can't praise the Lord focusing on that stuff. And you can't focus on your fallen neighbor, your disgruntled member, your critical friend, and praise the Lord. But if you'll focus on the holiness of God, it won't be but a few minutes before you're praising Him for being holy. Focus on the purity of the Scriptures. It won't be but a few moments before you're praising Him that this is a God-breathed word without conflict, and that you can find solace and comfort and sympathy and healing in this book. Praise Him because He's good. Our Father is a good, good Father, and give Him praise. Praise Him because He's mighty. There is salvation and healing and wholeness in the name of the mighty Jesus of Nazareth. Praise Him because He's powerful. He knows it all. He can do it all. He is all in all. And no matter what CNN or Fox or anybody else says, He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, on the throne this morning, coming back soon, and He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Focus on that for a while, and you cannot help but praise the Lord. Let's stand. But you can't praise Him if you've never trusted Him as your Savior. And you can't praise Him if there's unconfessed and hidden sin in your life. And you can't praise Him if you're holding on to the traditions of the past. So confess. Repent. Let go. And in His own way, He will give you a way to praise Him. It might not be like your wife or husband, your next door neighbor, or the first person in front or behind you. But in His own way, He will give you a way to give Him honor and glory and praise. If there's no hidden sin, no pride, and no hindrance because of tradition, focus on Him. Focus on Him. He's the author and the finisher of the faith. Focus on Him. Praise Him for who He is, and praise Him for what He's done. If you've never trusted Him as Savior, there'll be pastors on the altar, and we just beg you to come this morning and let us tell you how to know Him so that you can praise Him. If you've trusted Him as Savior, you've never followed Him in baptism, come make your profession of faith publicly today. That's biblical. What happens privately in the heart needs to be confessed publicly in the congregation. Maybe your membership is elsewhere and you want to become a part of Central Church. Come on today. Not one day longer. Today is the right day to be obedient to the gospel. And maybe you'd just like to come and praise Him. For your family, for your job, for your home, for your health. You'd just like to come and praise Him. Let's sing together. Pastors, you come. Congregation, you respond as the Spirit leads.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the